1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18 reads, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." Amen.
Amen.
On last week, we dealt with verses 11 through 15, and our main point from the text was true Christians love one another. Well, verses 16 through 18 is a continuation of that sermon, and our main point for today is the same. True Christians love one another. On last week, our application points were Christians must recognize that they are commanded to love one another. Next, Christians must recognize that they must not practice evil deeds. Next, Christians must recognize that the evil world will hate them because they are righteous. And finally, Christians must recognize that those who hate are still on the path to hell, while those who love are on the path to heaven. This week, again, our main point from the text, true Christians love one another. Our three application points for today. Number one, Christians must love one another following the example of Jesus. Number two, point two, application point, Christians must be willing to love one another by sharing their material possessions. And then point three, finally here, Christians must not simply talk about love, but they must show their love by their works. Amen?
Amen.
So as we look at the text, open it up, verse 16, John says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." If you think about our connection, even from last week in verse 15, well, even going back to verse 14, notice this. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Love the brothers. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. But notice this love, that's again was the main point from our text last week. And this week, true Christians love one another. And we saw in 14, again, we know that we've passed from death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. And we know that those who hate, he says, that they are murderers and they have no eternal life in them. And then in verse 16, he says, "Now, and by this we know love." You want to know what love looks like? If you are confused, you are saying, "Well, I can't really figure out what love looks like or what I should be doing." As love, he says, "By this we know love." You want to know that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. That's love. And if you really think about these next few points, he's given us these examples of what true love really looks like for the Christian. He starts us off by pointing us to the example of Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave his life for us. Is this not what we've heard throughout Scripture? The idea of Jesus Christ giving his life for us. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. "Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Matthew chapter 20, verse 28 there. Of course, when we go to John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." It is because of Jesus Christ's love for us that we have eternal life. He gave himself up for us. Other scriptures, just keeping these in mind. For instance, in John chapter 10, verse 11. John chapter 10, verse 11. Listen to what Jesus says. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In John chapter 10, verse 15, Jesus says, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Isn't that something? He lays down his life for the sheep. Well, John chapter 15, verses 12 through 20, verse 12 through 14. John chapter 15, verse 12 through 14. Jesus says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Isn't this very consistent with what we just read from John? By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Notice what, again, John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, Jesus said, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now watch verses 13 and 14. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And John tells us to lay down our lives for the brothers. Notice our first application point. Christians must love one another following the example of Jesus. This is what we are called to do. How far do our love extend for the brother? It extends even to death. How deep does it go? As deep as death. Now, I know some might be thinking, how really is Jesus expecting us to be willing to die for one another? Well, yes. That's greater love. Has no man than this, that someone who lay down his life for his friends. That's how much you love them, that you would be willing to die. And again, we die for them. And we see this example in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. By this, we know love. That's what love looks like. That you are willing to do that. Jesus Christ loved us in that way. And so he tells us to love each other in that way. Even when we were sinners, he died for us. The scripture says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And again, this is what we are exhorted to do. This is what we're encouraged to do as Christians, to love one another as Christ loved us. Even in the bonds of marriage, you see this example being used in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's the kind of love that should be shown within the marriage. Husbands, love your wives in that way. Be willing to die for her, scripture says. And again, this we see as the example that Christ has done for his church. And so John is clearly teaching And his teaching is in line with what Christ has stated, has commanded, and what he has shown to us. Christ is the example. So as Christ is the example and how we are to love one another, then that is what we must do. And again, true Christians love one another, and we love one another where we should be willing to die for one another. One last thing I'll say on this. If you are willing to die for one another, then certainly some of the other things should be not as difficult. If you've already convinced yourself, if you already recognize that you have been called to die for this brother or for this sister, then when it comes to something that's less than death, then that should be as much of a struggle, hopefully, since you've already know that you should be willing to die for the individual. So if the individual is not asking, well, let's just say it like this. If the situation is not calling for your death in this situation where you are looking to, should be willing to die if the situation necessitated it. But now here it is that the person is just asking you to give them a lift to the store. Well, the brother needs a ride to the store. You would think that wouldn't be as much of a struggle for you to do that, since you know that you are called to die for this brother. That's just my thought on that. But I think that is a valid reasoning on my part. So we have our first point there. Christians must love one another, follow the example of Jesus. And we know that example extends all the way to death. And he died for us. Verse 17. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Second application point. Christians must be willing to love one another by sharing their material possessions. But if anyone has the world's goods, you've been blessed, you have material blessings, you have money, you have certain possessions, you see your brother in need, yet you close your heart against him. Also, let me just say this. Notice in both of these, the same brothers. So Psalm asked the question, how do we, let's just say, apply this to those that are not our brothers? Certain principles we still look to, let's say, follow, and we don't somewhat get into, well, whether or not the person is a brother or sister, if we're looking to do good and to do righteous. However, here the scripture specifically deals with brothers. So we're dealing with brothers in this context. But notice the point that I'm making. If we see someone in need and we can help, we are not going by asking, oh, are you a Christian before I help? You know, that's not the point here. So, but we are specifically dealing here in this context of you seeing your brother in need. And notice what the scripture says, yet closes his heart against him. And so you see clearly what the scripture is getting at. You say no, or you choose not to help the person. You have the means to do it. And you say, no, I'm not going to do it. Your brother. Notice the question that he asked. How does God's love abide in him? God's love. How is that in him? How is God's love in him? And what does that love of God mean there? Let me read to you right quick here from Colin Cruz in his epistle dealing with 1 John and dealing with this love of God. And see, can you follow along as far as his point or what he's addressing when it comes to the love of God. He says, it is difficult to know how to construe the love of God in this verse. It could mean love for God. How can the person have love for God if they don't do this? If so, it would be in line with what the author says later. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has seen. You see, love for God. Can't say, I love God, yet I'm not loving my brother. So the love of God could mean that in that sense there, your love for God. He says there it is emphasized that love for God and love for fellow believers go hand in hand. Alternatively, it could mean the love that comes from God. And the verse would then say that love coming from God is not found in a person who shows no pity to those in need. You get it? So either the love for God, the love of God can mean the person having love for God. And if you're not truly loving your brother, you can't say you really love God. Or the love of God could mean, hey, you haven't really received the love of God. You're not one who is really, let's just say, walking in the love of God. So let me just finish reading what he says. Again, alternatively, it could mean the love that comes from God. And the verse would then say that love coming from God is not found in a person who shows no pity in those in need. While it is difficult to say which shade of meaning the author intended here, both represent genuine aspects of the author's understanding of the love of God. In the Johannine terms, the love, talking about in the epistles of John, terms the love which comes from God both creates believers' love for fellow believers, and it expresses itself in love for them. But again, so in a sense, both ways would be consistent. If I'm not showing the pity, showing the concern, the love for my brother, I cannot truly say I have love for God. If I do not love my brothers and sisters who I do see, I cannot love God whom I do not see. So I can't say on one hand, yes, I'm loving God. I love you, Lord, and willing to do this for you, Lord, and that for you because of my love for you. And then I'm not willing to love my brother and sister. He says, no, you don't really love God. Or again, the love of God could be this right here. If I'm saying that now I have received love for God, that now here it is, I am one that is now walking in love because I have, let's just say, been transformed by the love of God. It is in me. But I don't have love for my brothers, for my sisters. No, you don't have love of God in you. Now, either way, it is determined, one of the things he's saying here, it is determined by what you do towards others. Here you are, you have the means, yet you close your heart to these ones who are in need. You have the material possessions to do it, but you say no. And you want us to believe that you have the love of God? You want us to believe that you're a Christian? No. No, that doesn't look like true love. That goes against what we see the scriptures encouraging us, exhorting us to do. Remember in James chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, it says this. James chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? They need the food, they need the clothing. You need the help. My point in saying this again is bringing us back to the application of here you are having material goods and you will not help those in need. Proverbs 19:17 says this, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. Even when we come to the New Testament again in the writings of the Apostle Paul, we see how he exhorts the believers to be willing to give and to look out for others. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, he says this: as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. That's 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. Again, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. One of the passages I want to read to you from Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 7 through 11. Notice what the text says. If among you, one of your brothers should become poor in any of your towns within your land that the Lord your God has given you, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand against your poor brother, but you shall open your hand to him and lend him sufficient for his need, whatever it may be. Take care lest there be an unworthy fault in your heart, and you say, the Sabbath year, the year of release, is near, and your eye look grudgingly on the poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cried to the Lord against you, and you be guilty of sin. You shall give to him freely, and your heart shall not be grudging when you give to him, because for this the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all that you undertake. For there will never cease to be poor in the land. Therefore, I command you, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy and to the poor in your land. Amen. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what we see here? John saying, open up your heart. Don't close your heart to the person in need. You have it. Your brother's in need. Be good to him. Do right by him. Show compassion toward him, pity. God will bless. You don't have to hold on tight. You don't have to grudgingly give. You know there's scripture that warns us about this grudgingly giving, right? And that we should be cheerful givers. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5 through 9, Paul says, so I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for the gift you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an exaction. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. So, again, John, when we look at John, he says, but if anyone has the world's goods, sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? You cannot be one who have the material possessions and not willing to share with your brother who is in need and believe that somehow now you are still saved. I'm not trying to say that you lose your salvation at the moment you do something that you shouldn't in this area. But the point is, the characterization, the true character of the Christian is one who gives. It is one who's willing to share. It is one who sees that there's a need and I have the ability to help. So I look to help. I look to show compassion. I look to show pity. I do not look to show foolishness. What I mean by foolishness is this. The scripture is not telling us to simply give or to give our worldly possessions to those that are, I'll say it like this, to those the scripture has warned us not to give those possessions to help in certain situations. What I mean is this. Take, for example, the scripture tells us if a man is not willing to work, he should not eat. So we still show wisdom. We still use scripture. Even in our giving, we look to see what the scripture has told us and what are the, I'll say, conditions or the instructions in our giving. But nevertheless, the point being, when we have it to give and we see our brother in need, we are called to help, to show love in that way. Again, our application point, Christians must be willing to love one another by sharing their material possessions. Verse 18, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in work and truth. But in deed and in truth. Christians, application point, Christians must not simply talk about love, but they must show their love by their works. You remember I read to you a moment ago, we started verse 17, we went to a scripture in James, when James says the person that is in need, I think that was James chapter 2, the person that was in need, and you see this person in need, and you just simply say to the person, you see the person is, it needs to be clothed, and the person is hungry. That's James chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving him the things needed for the body, what good is that? You can see the point. What of our application point? Simply saying the words, simply talking about love is not what's needed. That what's needed, the type of love that's needed, is the love of works, deeds. That let me show you my love by what I do, not simply by what I say. So James, as James made the point there, John is making the point here. And again, the Christian faith is characterized by doing, not simply talking. We do the work. Jesus says in Matthew 25, verses 41 through 45, Matthew 25, verses 41 through 45. Then he will say to those on the left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will also answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." You get it? Here it is. You don't do for these people. You see the need. You see they need food. You see they're thirsty. You see this. You see. And so instead of you acting on that and helping in addressing the need, showing pity, showing compassion, you do nothing. No action with the work. There's no action in what you're doing. Even if you saying, "Oh, I wish things would get better for them. I wish them well." You see your brother in need, and the only thing you can offer is words. Notice again, verse 18, "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." This truth part, I'll take us back a moment ago when I was making the point as far as our love. And this maybe it would have been a better way of even saying it when I was saying that, listen, we're not saying to go out and love in a way that's not guided. I said by instruction, that's not guided by truth. And we get the truth from the scriptures. And I gave them the example of the person again that's not working. Scripture says he shouldn't eat. So the person doesn't want to say, "Well, he's hungry and he needs food and this and that." And we have this sympathy for him. Okay, now he's a grown man. He's not willing to work. No, he's not willing to work, but we still should feed him. No, can't do that. So we still want to make sure that all that we're doing in our love and our deeds, that it is done in truth. Even remember what I've said to you as far as the way we worship God, must worship God in spirit and in truth. And so even in our love here, truth, can't get away from truth when it comes to love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, what does it say? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." So again, we must love others, but we want to love them according to truth. And again, our actions must be there. Our actions must be there where we are looking to be this help to one another. If we see them in need, we are looking to provide in a way that is consistent with the word of God, and not again simply just talking about, "Oh, I'm going to do this. Oh, if I could, I'd do this. If I was a rich person, then I would be able to do this or to do that." No, that can't be the way we go about handling what God has called us to do and love for each other. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, it says this: "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Bear one another's burdens. How am I going to just bear your burdens by simply talking about your burdens? No, it calls for me to bear the burden. It takes action on my part. I need to be prepared to do what it takes to help my brother or my sister, to be willing to sacrifice of myself. Again, not simply talking about it, but willing to do the work. Christians must not simply talk about love, but they must show their love by what they do. The same way when we start to talk about, I said, as far as even when it comes to the marriage relationship, the husband or the wife doesn't want a person that simply talks about how much they love them. Oh, I love you this. I'll do this for you. I'll be willing to do this, be willing to do that. But then when it comes to the actions part, the person is not willing to do the least thing that the person desires or what their spouse want them to do. You have to be willing to put forth the actions. You must be willing to do the work. You must be willing to put them first. And again, if we said earlier that you, as the husband is called to love his wife as Christ loved the church, then again, when it comes to that relationship, when it comes to their day-to-day relationship and things of what the other person is called to do. Again, if you're willing to die for the person, husbands, then certainly then when the wife asks you to do this or the thing that's needed to do for the wife that you're looking to do that for her. And the same way when it comes to the wife, that she's called to love and respect her husband, then the same way that she would be looking to put forth the effort in regards to loving her husband by the actions that are required to love him. And so you cannot get away from the action part of love. It is a necessity. And again, just to talk about it and not to do it is not consistent with the true love of the Christian. True Christians love one another, and we love by our actions and what we do, and not simply by words. Amen? Amen. Let us stand.